Hey guys, Pat here. Pat O'Rourke, not Patrick Winogur. I know we get confused for each other a lot because we're like brothers and have the same name and we're cut from the same mold. Anywho, while I was editing this episode, I realized that we never said the name of the Star Trek The Next Generation episode we're talking about. So, just to make sure it's clear, we're talking about Data Lore. Yeah, it's a great one. A great one from season one. I love it. All right, thanks. Here's the episode. The late 80s. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the podcast Pat Trek. My continuing mission to introduce my friend Patrick to the best show that ever ran on television. And to boldly go where millions of white guys with glasses have gone before.
Hello, welcome to Pat Trek. This is the show where my friend, Pat O'Rourke, introduces me to Star Trek The Next Generation, a show that I have not seen before.
And I have seen a ton of times. Hey, Patrick.
Yo.
Can I call you brother?
My brother?
My brother for the rest of this episode?
You know, when I was watching this, I was like, man, we have to riff on this. It is so weird that Data and his clone call each other my brother the whole time.
Well, he's not a clone. He's another model.
Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah, and I think that segues really nicely into a couple really interesting production facts.
Okay.
One of them being, Lore was originally going to be a love interest to Data. It was actually Brent Spiner himself who had the idea to change it to an evil twin type scenario.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah, and I thought it came out pretty good.
Yeah, Star Trek is, and sci-fi in general, is no stranger to the evil twin scenario.
Yeah, definitely not. And the other very interesting fact is, this is Gene Roddenberry's last writing credit he gets before his death in 1991.
So there was like 3 years where he was still alive but not writing the series.
Yeah, apparently. I'm not really sure what he was doing, and I'm going to look that up and talk about it on the next episode. But it must have been just producing and making the series.
It's kind of weird that it's in the middle of the first season.
Yeah, you'd think it'd be at the end or something.
Right.
Yeah, but this is the last episode that he has a writing credit on.
Well, I've got Patrick's log here. This is what was happening in the week of January 18th, 1988. That was when Data Lore came out. So this one really stuck out to me. So this is a headline from the New York Times in 1988. Human egg donation for pregnancy is increasingly being used. Some view the technique of extracting eggs from one woman, fertilizing them, and implanting them in another as a miracle. Others view it as science gone haywire.
Now it's just commonplace.
That's just a normal thing.
Yeah, it's what do they call it? In vitro or something?
Yeah, in vitro fertilization.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally normal.
I
know what else
who've done it.
People call science gone haywire.
What?
Dr. Noonan Song creating the positronic brain.
Yeah, he was just ahead of his time.
Yeah. And what else was happening? Michael Dukakis's primary campaign in New Hampshire faces a mixed blessing. The governor of Massachusetts is expected to win the primary in his neighboring state, but the expectations are so high that a first-place finish might not be enough. He eventually won the nomination in 1988. Right. He was facing Gary Hart, who I think it was Gary Hart. He was like the liberal guy, and then he got embroiled in a sex scandal. Dukakis won the nomination and got trounced by Bush in general. So,
wow.
That was 1988.
You got to give it up to those sex scandals. They always seem to...
Yeah, they always catch somebody.
Yeah, they do. Well, sex is something people do.
Yep.
All right, well, should we get into the episode?
All right. So, at the beginning, we're seeing the Enterprise going to Omicron Theta, which we're told is Data's home world. So, we're going to find out a little bit about Data. And Picard is very excited to figure out what his deal is.
Yeah. Well, and it's where they found
it. It's where they found him, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we don't really know how he was made or why he was made.
He must have been assembled when they found him as well. Right?
Yeah, so this ship, the USS Tripoli, just sent a landing party and they found Data on this planet.
Oh, cool.
So another thing about it is that there used to be a colony on there and now the planet is stripped of life. For about 25 years, nothing has been on this planet.
Yeah, nobody is quite sure why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we see Data for the first time, he is trying to sneeze, Wesley Crusher comes in and asks him if he has a cold, but then immediately it's like, that's a thing that my mom said used to exist, which
right.
is like a weird thing to say, like, why are you sneezing? Do you have the plague? That was a disease that killed many people in Europe in the 1300s.
Well, if you recall, back in the episode that I don't like very much called The Battle, they did say that headaches and common colds are gone now forever.
Yeah. But no, Data is just practicing sneezing because right. humans sneeze for, you know, any other reason if their nose gets irritated or something.
Yeah.
And he's trying to master that skill, but he can't quite do it.
No, it's very stilted, very awkward.
Yeah, Data is still in the uncanny valley. Like, he's kind of human, but not really human.
Right.
But one of the reasons that he is kind of human, and this is the weird part of the episode, is that he has the memories of all 411 colonists that were on the planet. And one of the issues that I had with this particular show, the acting from Brent Spiner is great, but it does not make sense that he suddenly has these memories when the plot demands it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. It is kind of like he's going through PTSD, where like certain smells and things he sees reminds him of things.
Oh, yeah, but he's a robot.
Yeah, I know. So, but, you know, he's got a positronic brain. He doesn't
okay.
know.
Okay, all right. So the positronic brain is kind of like the time-space thought
yeah.
of this
well,
episode.
Well, we don't know much about it. We don't understand how it works yet.
Oh, okay. So
neither does Data. Data spends a lot of time in the future in investigating his own systems and ways he operates and ways he was built.
Yeah, and this is probably like the first episode where we really see that too.
Yeah, this is the most science we find out about Data yet. We don't really know much about him except for the fact that he's an android who's trying to be more human.
Yeah.
Here we learn a lot in this episode about why and how.
Yeah, so a landing party of Riker, not the captain, because, you know, everyone on this planet died, so it's risky.
Mm-hmm.
Geordi, Yar, and Worf, and Data, they all go down, and Geordi's using his visor thing to, I guess he can figure out there's no bacteria in the soil even.
Right.
Everything on this planet is dead. And Data suddenly remembers where he was found. And he leads him to this little cave thingy, and he's like, yep, this is where I had my first memory, which was being activated by the crew of the Tripoli when they came onto this planet and woke me up. So that is the first thing that he remembers. What he also remembers, though, is that this cave, and Geordi is like finding out that there's like a little trap door thing. This cave is just a front for a bunker laboratory thing.
Yeah. Yeah, where the colonists were hiding out.
Yeah. So, and we don't really know what they were hiding out from yet.
Mm-mm.
Just whatever killed everything on this planet.
Well, this is when we see some drawings, though, right?
Yeah. So this is another weird. This is another weird part. They go into this massive laboratory, and the you know there's a working lab, and they find these like children's drawings of like this space demon squiggly line thing.
Yeah, it's a lot
and,
of
like,
jagged
eating
edges.
People that are clearly screaming and running away, and it's like a horrific. Like a child drew this.
Yeah.
And the first thing Riker is just like, proud parents. Not like, oh my God, what happened to this poor kid?
Right. Why are they crying and running yeah. from the sky?
And it's just so out of place that yeah. they don't really see this obviously bad thing mm-hmm. as, you know, a forewarning. Like, we know this is a bunker. We know everything on this planet is dead. And, like, if you have eyes and a heart, you know that this is a very traumatic thing that a child drew. And all he goes like, his dad must be real proud.
Right.
This kid drew all those people getting murdered by
yeah.
the sky demon.
Well, they did hang him on the wall. They weren't very good drawings. So
yeah, but maybe they just hung him on the wall. It's like, kids, if you see this, watch out.
Run. Yeah, you don't want to end up like Timmy.
It will kill you. Right. It killed all your friends.
Right.
So Data has the memories of whoever drew this, too, in his right. brain. But he... It didn't trigger him telling us what the hell it was.
No, I don't think he knows.
Well, how would he not? I just don't understand how he wouldn't know.
Maybe he fell asleep before or was turned off or something beforehand.
Okay.
They don't explain to us in this episode, unless I missed it, when he was discovered, what Data was like, what his state was in, right?
Yeah, it doesn't really say. We just know that that was his first memory.
Right.
So there's all these machines around, and we go into this whole thing about how Dr. Noonien Song was trying to build Asimov's positronic brain. Everyone thought he was crazy for it. It was science gone haywire.
Yep.
And then he had to change his name and move Shithole Planet.
Yeah, where he continued his experimentation. Yep. I find this whole backstory super fascinating.
It is pretty interesting.
And I love that Data was made by a mad scientist,
yes.
Effectively.
Yeah, it's like the doctor from Mega Man.
Yeah,
basically.
It's true.
He's Dr. Wily.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's cool. And you can see now in the lab all the experimentation that was clearly going on.
Yeah, like we find a mold for Data's skin. Mm-hmm. They find a bunker that is full of parts of another Data.
Right.
We see a styrofoam mold of Brent Spiner's butt. That's like the first thing we see.
Yep.
And didn't you say that earlier when we were talking about this that Geordi, like they Riker's like, huh, I wonder how many there are.
Yeah, and then Geordi goes, there's only two.
Yeah, just like, oh, there's two. How does he know that?
Yeah, I don't know. The visor must be able to see, you know, how many positronic brains there are.
Yeah, it's got a data tracker.
Yeah.
It can tell how many datas are in the universe at any given time.
And if you count the movies, Geordi's wrong. They do find a third. There's a third android in the movie. Spoiler alert.
Oh. So he's not even right.
No, he's not even right. But I guess back when this episode was made, he was right because they didn't know the writers were going to create a third one later.
Oh, okay. Well,
the third one is actually the one that was made before Lore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's more of like a bodyguard type.
Oh.
Anyway.
Well,
different episode
of
Patrick.
Yeah, we don't know what this thing is.
No,
we
don't
just know, I think Data calls it like his brother or something.
Yeah, they all.
My brother.
He's like my brother.
Right. Yeah. And he really wants to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, please let me take this back to the ship so we can figure out how it works. And back on the ship, there's this whole sequence where Argyle, the engineer guy, and his team are moving pen lights over. I guess everything is constructed by pen lights in this universe.
Sure. Yeah. That's how you hypnotize people.
Right.
That's how you do everything.
Yeah.
Check for cancer.
Moving these pen lights over these styrofoam pieces of Data. And Argyle's like, hey, we may have to like, cut you open to figure out how you work, because we don't really know how you work. We never really got around to that. Is that okay? And Data's like, you know, he seems a little off, you know, by this suggestion. He's like, well, yeah, you know, whatever you got to do.
Well, it'd be kind of weird, you know, someone asks you, hey, can I cut you up and see how you work?
Right.
And so he hesitates for a moment, but he's, you know, he believes anything for science.
If
I can get my brother working again. My brother working again.
And he, I think we find out why he's a little unsettled by it is like he reveals to Crusher something that we have not found out yet, and no one knows, that Data has an off switch.
Yeah.
And he calls it his android alarm clock, and he's like, was that funny? Did you find that amusing? And then Crusher's like, no.
But it is amusing.
He's
Beverly?
Trying to make a joke. He's trying to
come
learn.
On. Yeah. Crusher's that's the best joke he's made so far.
Right. All his other ones were shit. And Crusher's like, no.
No, it's not.
Not funny.
Thanks for telling me about your off switch, though.
Yeah, and, you know, she does say something that makes a lot of sense. She was like, well, yeah, well, I guess I wouldn't want to tell anyone. Or Data says, if you had an off switch, would you want to tell anyone? And she's like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
No, I would not. So she has to keep the secret. No one else knows about this off switch but Dr. Crusher. And her and Argyle are patching up the robot. I guess Dr. Crusher is also a doctor of robots or something.
Mm-hmm. Android.
Oh, an android, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
And they seal him up, and they're about to activate it, and Picard is in the sick bay, and then he asks, well, you know, which one was made first? And the other android says, I was, or he was.
He was, yes, his Data was.
Data was.
But was found to be imperfect.
Imperfect, yeah.
Yeah.
And he introduces himself as Lore.
Oh, yeah. Now, okay. Did we talk about this? Lore? Lore is a awesome character. And
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
so it's happy that we got to we meet him now because I believe it was Sean Kelly who said this, and I quote it all the time. Later writers do amazing things with rules and characters that were established in the first season. And I think Lore turns out to be such a great character. So seeing him here, revealing some of the classic Lore tendencies, is pretty cool. I think the biggest thing, and this has to do with Brent Spiner and his acting, is Lore's face, although looks like Data's, acts completely different.
It's like a different person.
Yeah, totally.
Which is what acting is. So
yeah,
he's playing basically the same character. You know, it's almost like a clone of him. But you see it from the very beginning. He's more expressive.
Yeah, he's smiling. His eyes are a lot more alive.
Yeah,
yeah, it's great.
They did. Yeah, he did a phenomenal job.
Mm-hmm.
So
and continues to do, Patrick.
Oh, okay. Well, It appeared that he died to me in this show, but I guess he didn't.
Oh, my boy. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So Picard takes Data aside, and he has this kind of weird conversation where he's just like, I just want to make sure that your loyalty is with us, right? Like, this is your brother, and, you know, we're Starfleet. Just want to make sure. And then Data's like, look, of course. He's like, oh, thank God. Okay, good. I didn't have any doubts, by the way, even though I just asked you that. I didn't have any doubts.
Yeah, although he clearly did have doubts. Yeah.
Right. And then they go to the helm, and LaForge is explaining how the helm works to Lore, who, again, we can see he's very expressive. He has a facial twitch, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, which I don't really understand the purpose of, but I do think it signifies that Lore is mechanically inferior in some ways
okay.
to Data.
Mechanically, but in programming is... or
well, so he's emotionally more aware is
right.
what we've learned, but he has like a facial tick. Data does not. Data is very like stewardly. Is that the right word?
Stoic, I guess.
Stoic, I guess, would be better. Yeah. Whereas Lore never acts that way.
Yeah, but there's a couple interesting things that we learned from this conversation is... Lore is trying to recite the Pythagorean theorem, and he gets it wrong, so he made a mistake. And then he says that he enjoys pleasing humans.
Yes, that's so what he was designed to do.
Designed to do, yeah. And so then Data takes him off to show him the rest of the ship, and Lore just is like, hey, you know, I tricked Riker back there. I actually do know the Pythagorean theorem.
Yeah, humans are so gullible.
Right, so we know it's like, oh, he's capable of deception.
Right, and Data definitely is not.
Data is not.
That, yeah.
He, like, can't lie.
Mm-mm.
So that is a big reveal.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, hey, don't underestimate my powers, my brother.
Yeah. Well, and another big part here is he admits to being built first.
Right.
He tells Data, I lied about that as well.
Yeah, that's the other big thing that he lied about. And we find out why he was built first when they start talking about Dr. Song.
Yeah.
And Lore calls him often wrong Song. He doesn't sound like he respects
him.
Yeah, Lore
does
very
not
much.
Call him father like Data does.
Right. He does not like humans.
Mm-mm.
He's just basically deriding Data for wanting to be like a human. He tries to tell, you know, he tells like jokes to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Data is not capable of doing that. He's not capable of humor. And he's like, look, I don't know why you would want to be like these people. And the reason why Data was made second is because Lore was demanded to be shut off
right.
by the colonists.
Well, he was terrorizing them.
He was terrorizing them because, I mean, look, he's a super strong, super smart android capable of deception.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was like a Frankenstein's monster to
these
people.
Oh, totally. So they had to take him apart and turn him off.
And that's
why he's even more bitter against humans.
Right. So Data was the second version.
Yeah, and I think also in this scene, isn't this where they start asking about the suit, where Laura's like, hey, when do I get to my Starfleet suit?
Right, and we find out that Data went through like years of Starfleet.
Yeah, an academy and has served on different ships. And
he was like, you got to put in your time, dude, just like I did. I'm an android, but I'm not like different.
Yeah,
like,
and I love how proud Data seems.
He loves Starfleet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
we really get a sense of his loyalty.
It's not a thing that Lore understands.
No,
he just doesn't get why he wants to be a human. And even though it is clearly revealed to us that Lore is a villain, Data's like, oh, hey, could you do that report that we needed to do about what killed everyone on that planet? I totally trust you to do this, by the way. And Lore's like, it will be super accurate. Don't worry. And so back on the bridge, we find out what the report was.
Mm-hmm.
Picard and Riker, they're like, whoa, well, there's this thing, the crystalline entity, which was that scary thing that we saw from the children's pictures.
Yeah. It was drawn in crayon.
It sucked all life from the planet.
Right. It's a life drain.
Yeah. But Lore and Data were alive because they're androids, obviously.
Right.
They're not, like, living things.
Well, they're different.
Yeah.
Just like Picard talks about this earlier in the episode.
Yeah.
How we're human beings, we're bio and electric, whereas, you know, the androids are positronic and something else. But
right.
we're all machines in some way.
And
just
Riker really
parts.
Likes that. And that's like how he, I guess, likes to think of
it. Yeah, and can we talk about Riker for 1 second? Do you remember Riker used to
be put off by Data.
Yeah, and now he's defending Data. He's got Data's back. He likes Data. And I think there's...
It's the only character growth we have seen.
Yeah.
From Riker. And
from Riker.
Yeah.
Other than Riker likes to have sex.
Yeah, Riker likes little ladies.
And also, Riker is very protective of Data, apparently. Mm-hmm. So that was cool to see that.
Yeah.
But now there's a security alert. Yar's like, hey, there's... Lore has left his room. He's sneaking around looking for like some titanium amalgam. And Data's like, oh, no, that's just like a Band-Aid for robots, basically. I'm going to go check on him.
Androids.
Or androids, sorry. So he goes to his quarters, and Lore has poured 2 glasses of champagne, and he has drugged one of them.
Yes, he poured some sort of powder into it.
Yeah, and he gives it to Data, and he's like, you know, in order to become human, you have to learn human customs, and one of them is, you know, drinking champagne. It's this centuries-old tradition.
That will not get you drunk.
We
talked about this a lot a couple episodes ago.
It looks like real alcohol.
But it's not. It's synthahol.
So what is the point of this then?
See, I think it just tastes good and it's like human custom to drink it, but it won't get you drunk.
Huh.
They don't do that anymore.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's like evolved past that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But some people break the rules and, you know, drink some Romulan ale or the stuff that does get you drunk. But what's legal and normally served will not.
Oh, huh. Well, Data drinks it, and he collapses.
Well, it wasn't the synthahol.
Yeah, it was whatever he put in there.
Yeah.
And Lore, this weird part, toast to the crystalline entity, which...
Comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, because this is one of the problems I had with the episode. Is it, like, his god or something? Because if it is, that was not clearly explained.
No.
But we know he can talk to it.
But he wasn't even... Like, what is his awareness of the thing? It just showed up on...
Yeah, he brought it to the planet. He was like, he brought it to the planet for revenge, basically.
Against the people.
Against the people that disassembled him.
Man, so how does he know about this
thing? And how did he do it when he was disassembled?
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that doesn't really make sense. But so he starts talking to the crystalline entity.
Yeah, communicating with it through subspace.
Worf picks up that communication and, you know, he's like, oh, we better go figure out what's going on. And he sends Wes to check it out. Lore has switched clothes with Data.
Yeah.
And has adopted his mannerisms. One of the things that he pointed out was a difference between him and Data was that Data speaks very formally.
Yeah. Can't use contractions.
He cannot use contractions.
Oh, haha.
And
good one, my brother.
Right. Thank you, my brother. Well, Lore can. He speaks really informally. He's able to imitate humans a lot closely. So Wes goes down to check on him. Lore is wearing Data's uniform, and he's speaking very stilted and formally. He's saying cannot and is not, but he has a facial twitch.
Yes.
And Wes asks him what is up with that, and I guess like he's like, oh, you know, I was trying to, you know, imitate Lore or whatever. He's like, oh, well, you know, don't do that because then people might confuse you.
Yeah.
You know, if you weren't using contractions.
Yeah, which is so funny. It's like, I almost think it's you, Lore, right. But thank God.
Thank God you said cannot.
Not. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So then there's this long sequence where, you know, he uses that pen light thing to fix his twitch.
Right.
It takes like a minute. It was really weird that it went on that long. Then we go back to the bridge. Wes tells everyone what happened. And LaForge is like, oh, there's an object approaching. Oh, shit, it's a crystalline entity.
Of course it is.
It's very, very fast.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is the part where it kind of gets confusing. Because Picard is like, we need to question this Lore guy. And Wesley's like, I don't think I really trust Data. Because Data is Lore at this point. Picard and Riker, like, hate him for this. Because as we saw, they're very protective of Data.
And what do they say?
Shut up, Wesley.
Yeah, and they say it numerous times.
Yeah, so he tries to defend himself. And he's like, no. And then they're like, well, you're removed of command. And why did we do that in the first place? You're 14 years old.
Shut up, Wesley.
And then he's like, well, look, if I'm removed of command, let me just say, I tried to warn you. Y'all didn't listen to me. And his mom's like, shut up, Wesley.
Yeah. Which, of course, it's like, at this point, Wesley has been right so many times.
Yeah,
you
just maybe check it out. That he could know what he's talking about. Yeah. And he's mad at them because he's like, if I was an adult, you'd listen to me.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yes, of course.
But you're not.
But you're 14 years old.
Unfortunately, he's right.
He does happen to be right. Data is actually Lore in disguise. Lore is trying to lead the crystalline entity to the ship so it can devour all life forms on it.
Yeah, because he hates humans that much.
That much. And yeah, he really should have listened to Wes, because Wes and Riker go down to either Data or Lore's cabin. I'm not sure which one it is.
I think it's supposed to be Lore's bedroom.
Okay.
And Data, looking like Lore,
is on the floor.
Is on the floor. Yeah.
And Lore, looking like Data, is above him. And he's like, all right, look, don't make any sudden moves. He can sense you. He's very violent. Because, you know, his story is that I had to shut him off because he was getting violent.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds that little off switch that he was talking to Crusher about and starts, like, switching it on and off very rapidly. And that, you know, makes Data as Lore flail around. And he's like, oh, I can't control him. You better get out of here.
Yeah, it's not safe for you.
Right.
I'll talk to him and then write it all down.
Yeah. And so they're like, oh, okay. There's nothing weird about that. All right, see you later. And then they leave.
Oh, Riker.
And then Lore just starts, like, stomping on Data's face.
Yeah.
And, like, breaks it. And we see, like, this circuitry blood thing going on in his face.
Yeah, this little, like, skin rip.
Yeah.
So you see his brain a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, Riker goes back to the bridge, says what happens. And Wes is like, look, guys, really should have listened to me. And the crystal thing is attacking the shields. And Data, as Data, is saying, like, hey, wait, let me talk to it.
Yeah, and I love this sequence because this is when the bridge crew starts to get suspicious.
Yeah.
And it's because Picard goes, make it so.
Yeah.
And Data, Lore, goes, what?
He doesn't know what make it so means because I guess no one else would use that phrase.
Yeah, he'd never heard it before.
Picard's, like,
I thought that was some clever
signature
writing.
Phrase. So, yeah. Like, Lore's never heard it before. Picard immediately realizes, like, it's kind of weird you don't remember that.
Yeah.
You're Data. I mean, obviously you heard me say that.
Yeah.
But what Lore, as Data's plan, is to create a tree, which I guess you can do, and beam it next to the crystalline entity, and then put the shields down for a second so that you can destroy it.
Yeah.
And, like, have a show of force against this crystal god thing, which the bridge, for some reason, goes along with.
Yeah. Well, they trust Data, and they think it's Data telling them that
okay,
this
I guess
is the
that
way
makes
to do
sense.
It. So they're like, well, Data usually has pretty good ideas. We don't know about this crystal thing. Let's do it.
Yeah. So, you know, this is where the shut up Wesley part happens, because, like, Wesley is like, this
whole
seems
thing
like
is
a
weird.
Really bad idea. And so, you know, Lore as Data is going into the turbo lift, and Worf goes in with him, and Lore as Data just beats the shit out of him.
Yeah, once again, Worf is incapacitated and useless.
Yep, he didn't really do much in this episode.
He just got beat up, yeah. I don't even think he had any lines.
Yeah. And Wes convinces his mom to go, like, check at Data's quarters, and she sees that Data's hurt, and she remembers where the switch is. Oh, shit, this is Data.
Yeah.
Wes was right.
No way!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, now they go into the cargo bay where I guess the transporter is.
Yep.
Okay. And Lore is talking like a normal human to the crystalline entity.
Right.
He's not just like beaming information from his brain.
No. He's just talking out loud.
So we, the audience, know what's going on. He's basically like spilling his evil plan.
Yeah.
Well, so
that's what evil twins do.
Yeah. So Data, Beverly Crusher, and Wes Crusher show up. They find him, you know, about to send the tree so that the Enterprise will shoot it, bringing the Enterprise's shield down for just a minute so that the crystalline entity will have a chance to eat everyone on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is about to happen, but they stop him. Beverly has a phaser, but then Lore grabs it, and he's like, I will set your son on fire if you don't leave in 5 seconds.
To which you cheered loudly.
Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah, do it.
Do it, Lore.
Do it, Lore. So Beverly Crusher, I guess, is feeling pretty bad at this point, because if she had listened to her kid, you know, they wouldn't be in this mess.
Yeah, don't tell your kid to shut up.
Yeah. And she reluctantly runs out of the room, but not before Lore shoots her in the arm and sets it on fire. And as that happens, Data, like, tackles Lore, and there's this weird fight between my brother and my brother. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, throwing barrels at each other and shit. And then, you know, somehow Lore ends up onto the transporter pad.
Yeah, just through the rumbling.
Yeah. Which is weird because, like, they didn't have this planned. No. It's not like Data could... Yeah, this was poorly written to me because...
Hey, sometimes luck happens.
I guess.
And you
he rolled a 20.
Yeah, he got a crit and rolled him right onto
the transporter. So he throws Lore onto the transporter pad and he's like, Wesley now. And, you know, Wesley transports him just as Lore is about to shoot a phaser.
Yeah, and the phaser transports
the
as
phaser
well,
transports
which
as
I thought
well.
Was really cool looking. I thought it was a neat idea that you can transport like an energy beam.
I guess.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. So he
imagine
goes
what
out.
That could mean for warfare. You could be like transporting lasers. To
why would anyone use phasers or lasers at any point? Just see if you can weaponize transporters.
Yeah.
I mean, they could fucked up things to people.
Oh, boy. Don't tell Lore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, but Lore has been transported. We don't know where.
Yeah.
You said that we see him again.
We do see him in the future.
Okay. But, you know, then Picard, Riker, Yar, Crusher, like they return. Crusher is apparently fine. I guess only her lab coat was on fire.
Yeah, well, and she can heal. I mean, she went to sickbay. She knows how to use all those tools. All
right. And they find out it's like, Lore's gone. And Wes was right. Whoops. So I guess Wes becomes acting ensign again. And crystalline entity is like, it's just gone.
Yeah, where did it go?
Well, I think it's like it can't reach them. Like it can't get through the shield.
So it got bored.
It was like a bear attack.
Yeah, the whole crystalline entity. It's like supposed to be this big scary thing, but they never explain it very well.
Yeah, they just played dead and it went away. It's basically what happened.
Yeah,
and so Picard helps Data. He tells Data to like get rid of his twitch or something and get back into his uniform, because everyone loves Data, and I guess they're really glad that they weren't right about, you know, Data having that other sympathy towards my brother.
Right. That he chose Starfleet over an android who was built by the same creator.
Right.
Effectively, I mean, they're not even brothers. They don't know each other at all. They don't have many shared interests.
Right. Which is weird why he would even think that in the first place.
Yeah, but I guess it came from the same... they came from the same molds.
Well, so. I guess he's trying to think is, like, do these androids have, like, some kind of solidarity with each other that goes beyond whatever...
I mean, later in the series... Data makes himself a daughter. He makes himself an android that he calls his daughter. It's a great episode. I love it. It's super weird too, but I love that episode because if an android creates life, right? Because effectively, is an android life? Yes, we've decided it is.
Yeah, in this show. Yeah,
in this show,
they're just another. They're mechanical. We're bioelectric.
Yeah, exactly. So it is life. So they are related to one another if they come from the same parts. Isn't that what being a human is? It's your mom and dad's parts coming together. And so your brother...
Spoiler alert, Pat.
But your brother and sisters are your genetic... You know, you have the same genetic material. Lore has the same material that Data has.
Yeah, I guess.
So they're related, but they aren't...
But on the other hand, like, he knows Data went through years of Starfleet. And,
yeah.
You know, which is, I guess, why deep down Picard knew that, of course he'd choose Starfleet over, you know, this guy that he just met. But he still had that suspicion.
Yeah, he did. And it's interesting to think about an android's loyalty.
Like, yeah.
Where does the loyalty come from?
Well, I guess, like, that's part of how he is kind of human.
Right.
Like, he does have feelings.
Yeah.
Human feelings about Starfleet.
Yeah, he misses people when they're gone. He says that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he said it yet, but he will later.
Well, yeah, so I did think that that ending was kind of interesting, is that, like, this thing about some part of Data's humanity has kind of been resolved.
Yeah.
Even though the thing with the big bad of this episode was not resolved at all, and it just kind of disappeared and left them alone.
Yeah, it wasn't... Yeah, it didn't really serve much of a purpose besides scaring us and raising the stakes at key moments.
Right. It was, the plot. The plot is attacking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The plot is attacking. Man, that's a podcast I want to do. The plot is attacking and talk about scripts. So, Patrick, Do you want to rate this episode?
Yeah.
And normally I say this to our guests. We don't have a guest this week, but I'm going to say it to you, the listener. We rate each episode on a 3-point scale. The best is Set to Kill. Now, this is an episode that you would recommend to everybody. If you want to get someone hooked on Star Trek, you would point them to a Shoot to Kill episode. Set to Kill episode, excuse me. There's a Set to Stun, which is, this was okay. It was pretty good. I liked watching it. But, you know, it's not one that you need to make sure you see. And then you can always leave it in the holster. And that's where, skip this episode. No reason, no point in watching it ever again. So, Patrick, what did you think?
I think this was pretty solid Set to Stun for me.
Yeah.
And what carried it was Brent Spiner's acting.
Yeah.
As we said earlier, I thought it was very impressive that he has two completely different characters that obviously look exactly the same and essentially are the same in many ways, but he was able, you know, through his physicality, through his voice, to express two different people. The problems I had with it was I felt like a lot of things were a plot device and a lot of things were not very clearly explained. That crystal thing could have been terrifying in the way that they initially set it up, you know, with the children, you see it first in children's drawings. Like, that's some horror movie shit. And Riker's just like, oh, proud parents.
Yeah.
And it's this weird, like, it doesn't look like any living thing. It's like a, like, sharp octopus sort of thing.
It's not.
And it doesn't do anything.
No, it just floats around.
And it disappears at the end. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. There's a lot of missed opportunities with this.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go with Set to Kill.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm going with Set to Kill. And that's because we get to meet Lore.
Oh, okay.
We finally get to meet him. We get to see Brent Spiner doing his thing. I think, you know, season one, the two actors that matter the most are Patrick Stewart and Brent Spiner. And we finally get to see Brent Spiner stretch his legs, if you will. And he'll continue to do this as the series goes on. And we get to see more of him playing these really interesting parts and using his body and his acting abilities to really round out a cast. It's great. I agree with you that the crystal thing was kind of stupid, but I love this episode. And I think it's important to watch because it tells us so much about Data. And all of this stuff gets expanded on quite a bit as the series progresses as well. So if you want to have that core understanding of where Data came from, this is required watching.
All right. Well, it wasn't bad.
No, exactly. Is it the greatest Star Trek episode ever? No, but it is something you should see. It is Set to Kill.
Yeah, if you need to know the background.
Yeah. It helps out a lot later and gives cool context to Data, the character, who is probably, especially in season one of the strongest characters.
Oh, yeah. No, I really like Data so far.
Yeah.
And, you know, that it's a Data-heavy episode, I think, had a lot in its favor. Just, you know, like I said, the monster of the week, just they dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Well, Patrick, is there anything you want to talk about before we get out of here today?
Yeah, listen to more Patrick. Listen to Politicked Off. That is me and Zach Mass podcast about just a weekly roundup of what's going on in the news that week. Have a wacky guest. So listen, it's both on iTunes.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and if you're hanging out on iTunes, why not give Patrick a 5-star review?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are great. We have 7 ratings and reviews. We would love 7D.
Yeah, it makes us, I guess it improves our metrics or something.
Yeah, well, it makes us easier to find.
Yep.
So if you were to look us up, we come up higher. So, Pat Trek, 5-star review on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Pat Likes to Tweet because Facebook is for noobs. Listen to Making New Friends. That is over at peachesandhotsauce.com. And I think that's it.
Let's see what's out there, my brother.
Peaches.